Mardi Gras was on Tuesday, but it was so cold that we're guessing a lot of people's plans to march got thwarted. If Fat Tuesday came and went, but your craving for red beans and rice with cornbread and gumbo has not been fully satisfied, guess what? You can get that stuff in Kansas City all year round. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we're kicking off today's food show with the story of New Orleans-style food here in town. We'll hear from a Southern chef with a Cajun food truck in a minute, but first, food historian Andrea Broomfield, with us from Johnson County Community College, pays a visit to give some background on the connection between our two cities. Andrea, is there a connection between the culinary traditions of New Orleans and the culinary traditions of Kansas City?
There is, but it's complicated. We're going to have to go back to the Choteaus.
Can you remind us who the Choteaus were?
The Choteaus are one of the most important early families in Kansas City. They were fur trappers, and they made their fortune doing just that, and they established forts all up along the Mississippi and into the Missouri and into the Kaw River Valley. And one of the most important settlements that becomes Kansas City is located first in Randolph Bluff, and then after a big flood over on the other side of the Missouri River, which then ultimately becomes part of Kansas City. We're bringing into this region lots of Creole New Orleans conceptions of food.
When you think of Kansas City style food,
right,
in quote marks, and New Orleans style food, mm-hmm, in quote marks, are there any similarities that you can taste still today?
Well, I would say that there's always been an impulse in Kansas City to return to some of the foods that we consider New Orleans style. Like, for example, in the 1840s, probably the most popular dish in this region was jambalaya. But the jambalaya would have been much different than what you would have found in New Orleans, because this was an outpost and was difficult to get into this area, the special ingredients, particularly things like rice. And so our version of jambalaya, our version of beans and rice, these classic New Orleans Creole dishes, would have been a lot less refined than what you would have found in Louisiana, particularly in New Orleans. But I think that the impulses and the kinds of culinary techniques that were being refined in New Orleans continue to show themselves in this area as well. And that continues up through, I would like to say, up through the decoration of Pooch's 210, which at one time was considered Kansas City's fanciest restaurant. And its decor was that of Mardi Gras.
What time period are we talking about with Pooch's?
That would have been around 1960. It was decorated in the style of New Orleans and Mardi Gras. Before Pooch's, you could go back to the Westport Room, which was the Harvey restaurant in Union Station. And at one point, it likewise was decked out with a Mississippi riverboat theme. And the menu would have had specialties such as jambalaya, shrimp creole. And so, and then you can go back another generation and you can continue to find, all the way back to the establishment of the Choteaus, these Creole-style dishes that were much loved and that could be used to sort of accommodate whatever game, whatever cereal grains you had available in this region at any given time.
And this is, this is partly because of this one family, the Choteaus, but
right,
this is also partly because of geography, because of the way that we are connected,
yes,
via rivers,
yes,
to
absolutely,
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you think about it, the Mississippi River is the main river we think of leading out of New Orleans, but the Missouri River is a tributary of the Mississippi River. And the impulse to come this direction, again, is because of fur. I mean, you're looking to exploit all these critters that you can trap and then sell back ultimately to St. Louis and then to New York and then on to Europe.
When you mentioned earlier that there were culinary techniques here that were in our DNA, that our culinary DNA, that come from New Orleans, and that we continue to refine those techniques,
right,
in Kansas City. What techniques are you talking about?
Well, and I would clarify that that when we talk about Creole food, we ultimately are talking about the coming together of many different styles of food: Native American, African American, French. And so one of the culinary techniques that is important to Native Americans, African Americans, and Creoles would be this desire to thicken a soup, to make a roux, and to use that roux to give the soup not just a texture but also a depth of flavor. And so, depending on what was available, a roux could be made. It wouldn't be refined, but you could make it out of cornmeal if you didn't have access, for example, to wheat flour. But you had lots of Native Americans who lived in this region who were interacting with the French back in the early 1700s, maybe even as early as the 1680s. And they're sharing these techniques and they're sharing these ingredients because you just have to work with what you have. But you're taking technique that I would say would be based in Europe, this desire to create a roux, and you're adapting that to the way that Native peoples are also cooking their food, and you're finding a synergy between them.
What kind of popular dishes in Kansas City today have that roux at their base?
Well, it seems that no matter what decade you're in, you're going to find a restaurant or two that still likes to create a gumbo, an étouffée. And so maybe it's jazz, maybe it's beignet, but there's always been at least some restaurants in Kansas City that are going to have these rich stew-type foods that are often served over rice. And maybe it's going to be made with crawdads as opposed to shrimp, or maybe it's going to be made with smoked sausage and possibly even game, depending. But there's always been that love of a gumbo, and I think also jambalaya. Red beans and rice probably as well, although that's harder, I think, to find on menus.
There are foods that have such a strong association with Mardi Gras that no matter what time of year you eat them, no matter where you are, you almost feel like you're seeing purple and green. You know what I mean?
Right, of course.
What can you just talk about that phenomenon? And, you know, is Mardi Gras kind of unique in that sense, or do you see that more broadly?
Well, it seems that the United States as a whole has really waked. It's come to accept New Orleans as sort of the defining culture that's associated with the day before Lent. And so I've seen all over the nation lots of bakeries and lots of parties that are adopting the king cake, which is really the color combination that you've just described. And so, but I don't remember that being so important to Kansas City when I was a kid growing up, for example. It seems like that this is a new adoption of a holiday and a celebration that really belongs to New Orleans.
Andrea Broomfield, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Andrea Broomfield is a food historian. She's also the author of Kansas City, a food biography. So that brings us to the present. We're joined now by a chef with a Cajun food truck, Kansas City Cajun. Israel England, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
You serve Cajun food out of a truck year-round. What inspired you to start doing that?
Well, I moved here to Kansas City about 7 years ago from Jackson, Mississippi, and basically just out of the void of not being able to find, well, in my opinion, good seafood, I decided to start my own company.
So seafood is a big part of the Cajun food that you serve?
Correct.
Can you tell me about your personal relationship with this kind of food before we dive into that some more?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So as I previously mentioned, I moved here from Jackson, Mississippi. Most of my family on my father's side is out of the New Orleans area. My father lives in an area called Pascagoula, Mississippi, which is on the coast. A lot of people don't think of Mississippi as being a coastal state, but of course we have several hundred miles of coastal land. So I grew up visiting him over the summer months and going crabbing and fishing and just growing up in the lifestyle, just being around the ocean. So that's how I basically developed.
So you're going to share quite a bit about what goes into gumbo and what makes gumbo like true Cajun style gumbo. But before that, what are some of the other staples that you think anyone preparing a Cajun feast outside of Mardi Gras festivities really has to have?
Oh, definitely. I would say number one, the po' boy. The classic po' boy to me is one of the great staples of a Cajun meal. You know, you can just put anything on it and put in bread and just call it a good sandwich.
I would call that a good sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, and then the second one, I would say steam plates, steam bowls. So steamed seafood dishes. So steamed oysters, steamed shrimp, steamed crawfish.
I've never heard steamed about this crab. Before.
Yeah, it's a big thing on the coastal states in California, Maine, and even down in New Orleans, where they basically give you a steam bag bowl, and it's basically just crab or whatever protein you want, like the ones I mentioned, crawfish, crab, shrimp, also with corn, potatoes, and usually sometimes andouille sausage.
And it's all just steamed?
Yep, just steamed. It has Cajun seasonings on it, and you have a little bit of broth in there where you can also, you know, if you have bread, you dip bread in there. So that's the second one, I would say. And then the third one, of course, as you previously mentioned, gumbo.
Okay, so we're going to talk about gumbo, but seafood being a big part of this, I mean, how did you feel about producing this particular cuisine in Kansas City? We do have a river, we do have lakes, but we don't have, like, you're not going to walk off to the coast and get crabs.
Right, right. At first, you know, we went out full guns blazing, but we ran into a little bit of issues just with people not being familiar with seafood. A lot of people have allergies, shellfish allergies. And then a lot of people just here in Kansas City have just never had the pleasure of tasting seafood. So we had to basically...
I'm surprised that you still encounter that. Growing up, I would have definitely seen that as like, yeah, that's for real. But like, I feel like people are warming up to seafood, not warm enough.
I guess so. Yeah, I think it's still a big percentage of people that have just never tried it. I just don't know if it's just the fact that they didn't grow up around it, or it's just a lot of what I hear is the smell. You know, a lot of people just don't like seafood don't like the seafood smell.
Oh, and you know, a thing that you do hear is like people like fish that doesn't taste, quote, fishy.
Correct. Correct.
Which is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I would say here locally.
Okay. So you're going to talk to us, though, about gumbo. What do you think defines like a true Cajun gumbo? Dictionary definition.
Dictionary. I would say you want a gumbo, as we previously talked about, that's built off of roux. That's really the staple. You start off with a good roux. When we make our roux on the truck, it's basically a dark caramel. You can make it different colors, but we know it's done when it has a nice nutty smell to it.
Can you describe what a roux is and how you make it?
So basically a roux is a thickening agent. You can make it with, you start with a fat, so you can use an oil or you can use a butter. You go on with your flour. And then basically what you're doing is you're just cooking that flour out of the substance. And it's basically going to turn into a nice, dark, real thick paste.
And then, what makes it dark?
Basically just the roasting of the roux. I mean, you're cooking it on a medium to, I would say, low to medium heat. And you're just standing over it, stirring it basically for about 20 minutes. And then as that flour starts to cook out, it starts to develop a nice dark color. And then you start getting flavor, and then you're able to basically build your soup off of that.
So what comes after the roux?
After the roux, basically we're going to add in our stock. We like to have our stock nice and warm. Once we get our roux the color that we wanted, and the scent is kind of really what we look for, then we start slowly adding our stocks. And then we add our vegetables, and then just kind of let that just simmer for a few hours.
What vegetables would be traditional?
So I would say onions, mirepoix, you have your onions, your celery, and then your okra. So those are the three ones that we use. And sometimes you can put bell pepper in there as well.
You know, okay, and then at some point there's seafood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yep, and then when you get towards the end, so this is the key with seafood when you're making your gumbo. When you get your gumbo nice and, you know, it's been sitting on the stove for a few hours and it's kind of settled down, you want to add your seafood in at the very last minute and then cook it for, you know, maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes, because it doesn't take that seafood long to get cooked. So what a lot of people do, they add their seafood too early and the seafood becomes overcooked and it's rubbery, doesn't have a good texture. So that's the key to getting real good fresh seafood. You only need to cook it for about 15 to 20 minutes, honestly.
So It fascinates me that we've been talking about gumbo and you've been describing what like the really important parts of gumbo would be, especially like if you want it to be an authentically Cajun style gumbo. Mm. Spices have not come up, not once.
Yeah. So yeah, when we're building our roux, we add spices to it a little bit right before we get to adding the stock. And that kind of helps with that color as well. And then we flavor it as we go. Kind of when we get towards the end, we taste it, just make sure it has all the flavor profiles that we want. But most of that flavor is coming from the roux. You don't really have to add a lot of spices to it. If you get your roux nice and right, a nice dark color, nice flavors and aromas, then you can just basically get your flavor from the roux.
I wonder if maybe a shortcut that people who aren't as familiar with the roots of this kind of cooking kind of take is, you know, sprinkle on some Cajun seasoning out of a jar and call it good, whereas like you don't even mention spices when you're like, here's what's really important about this dish.
Right, because it's one of those dishes where you're just building different flavor profiles layer upon layer. There are 1,000 ways to make gumbo. You know, there's no one right way or wrong way, but the roux is definitely is what I would say stick with when you're doing a traditional classic gumbo.
We just had Mardi Gras. Does that make you miss where you come from?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been to, I think, 5 Mardi Gras in my lifetime, which is a high number. I haven't been in at least 8 years. So, but, yeah, I definitely miss home around this time of year.
What does it mean to you to be making Cajun food here in Kansas City specifically, in the snow? You know, like
Right. It means a lot. You know, one of the things that we, when we first started the company, we tried to look at the history of the city. Two things that stood out to us was the jazz culture and then the fact that this is such a big beef, you know, cattle city as far as the cuisine that goes. So we thought bringing in the Cajun food and pairing it along with the jazz environment here that's in the city would be a good pairing. And so far, it seems to have been a perfect storm. It's been taking off.
You know, we're about to talk to our food critics about cinnamon rolls. And before we go, I just wonder, do you like cinnamon rolls?
I love cinnamon rolls. Yeah. Yep. I also love king cakes.
Which I hear are basically cinnamon rolls with a different color of decoration.
Right. There are a few different ways you can make the king cakes, but that's basically what it is. We do ours. Well, we stuffed ours with a Cajun cream cheese, which is really nice. It's a little different.
Israel England, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Israel's food truck, Kansas City Cajun, is always at First Fridays in the Crossroads. If you want to give this stuff a try, up next, we will commence our search for cinnamon rolls because the cinnamon roll is apparently one of Kansas City's claims to fame. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the best one in town. I'm Gina Kaufman. Central Standard will be back. When we decided to talk about cinnamon rolls today, our friend and food critic Charles Ferruza thought we should really try the ones at McLean's Bakery. They've been treating Kansas City to buns and rolls and danishes for more than 70 years, and they keep things super old school. So earlier this week, Charles went with our senior producer, Sylvia Maria Gross, to get their famous cinnamon rolls right out of the oven.
The oven at McLean's in Waldo is the size of the bed of a pickup truck. The wide door opens to show the rack slowly rotating inside. The cinnamon rolls here are 5 to 6 inches wide. They're the kind that rise to meet the rest of their buddies in the pan and end up having to be separated out into big squares. Kristen Nair is the manager here at McLean's, and she says people get pretty particular about which cinnamon roll they want.
You have the crowd that is like the outside of the pan crowd that gets like the kind of crispy edge with the soft center. And then my personal preference is the middle cinnamon roll that has, it's soft all the way around and that doesn't have those like crispy edges.
Either way, for Charles Ferruza, these cinnamon rolls take him back.
McLean's is really in the classic old school bakery. It reminded me of the neighborhood bakeries I went to in my hometown.
If you've been around for a minute, you might remember the original McLean's was on Warnell and 75th Street. It opened in 1945.
The original McLean's on Warnell was a traditional storefront bakery, and so it was smaller, and so the smells were much more intense. When you walked in, you smelled the sweetness of the sugar, the kind of wafting earthiness of the bread, and it's a very intoxicating and rich fragrance that stays with you.
The new McLean's is vast, as Charles puts it, with a lunch menu, espresso drinks. It's airy with brick walls. We're sitting right by glass windows that look into the bakery, where you can watch bakers decorate wedding cakes and cookies, and of course roll up the danishes and sticky buns. Now, when I was a kid, the only cinnamon rolls I ever had we made out of a Pillsbury canister, but it was such a treat to pop them out, bake them until brown and scrumptious, and then lather on icing from the little plastic container. Here at McLean's, of course, everything's made from scratch. Krist explains.
The process is a little bit different. It's the same pastry dough. We have the same recipe that we had back when the bakery opened, and butter rolls are filled with butter and rolled into kind of twisted and rolled like a Danish. The cinnamon rolls have butter as well, but also a cinnamon sugar filling, and are kind of rolled a little bit differently.
The cinnamon sugar part of it and the glaze are very discreet, not too much of any one ingredient. People don't really eat breakfast pastries anymore. They're too fattening. And they've kind of gone out of style, but at McLean's, they're still a big deal.
And although the butter rolls and the pineapple rolls might be what McLean's is best known for, in that big lighted display case at the counter, it's about an hour since the cinnamon rolls came out of the oven, and there's only one left.
That was KCUR's Sylvia Maria Gross enjoying cinnamon rolls with our food critic, Charles Ferruza. I'm Gina Kaufman, and now I'm here with an in-studio panel of critics to drum up a definitive list of great Kansas City cinnamon rolls. Call 816-235-2888 to join that conversation. Jenny Vergara, Jill Silva, Carlton Logan, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I loved that observation that there are two kinds of cinnamon roll eaters. You're either the edge of the pan, crispy edges kind of person, or a middle of the pan, pure soft dough kind of person. I am the middle of the pan. Anyone? Anyone else?
Middle of the pan.
Middle.
Yep.
No way. No way. Crispy edges rule all day.
So last time we talked about cinnamon rolls, it was actually because Condé Nast Traveler had just published an article asserting that Kansas City, and I quote, quietly owns this breakfast treat. Did you guys see that article?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of this theory? Is the cinnamon roll an under-acknowledged Kansas City thing?
In some circles, yes.
Well, explain.
I, of course, am an administrator for Kansas City Eats. People go crazy over cinnamon rolls in that group. Even Cinnabon, they go crazy over. Yeah, I think there is kind of a, and it is kind of a middle of the pan, edge of the pan. Do you cut it? Do you unroll it? It's very, very specific types of eating cinnamon rolls.
So there is some cinnamon roll ritual in
yes.
our region. I mean, who here did grow up in the Midwest? Everyone?
Mm-hmm. I did not.
You did not.
But I hear that chili and cinnamon rolls are a thing.
Yes.
And I already got on social media somebody saying, hey, I have a lunch lady's recipe. You got to come check mine out. And so I think there's history here.
Yes. Okay. So this is the thing. I am told this is a local custom. This is absolutely not part of my own childhood, even though I did grow up here, so I find it fascinating and bizarre. But I asked around about where the chili and cinnamon roll combo came from, and apparently, according to the food historian we had on earlier, in fact, it's from when Friday was considered a baking day, and people took their leftover dough and turned it into cinnamon rolls, and then they took leftover meat from the week and made chili. Mm. This combination makes more sense to me in that through that lens. The thing that still did not entirely make sense to me is that these two foods together are both such heavy foods that like the pairing is not totally intuitive. But I am told that's because I am not working in fields all day in the snow. And if I was, I might really want all those calories.
Nor are you a kid. That's other thing, right? If it's a cafeteria food.
Well, you have to think about, leftover meat, leftover dough. Okay. And school cafeteria lunches had to meet certain criteria. They had to have, at the time, it was the government, basically, that was telling them, so much protein, so much veg, so much carbs, so much, all of that. So my understanding is the lunch ladies kind of created this thing in the Midwest to probably get rid of their leftover meat and their leftover dough. But the combination of the two of them still met all of the requirements for nutrition for a school lunch. Mm-hmm. So that's really why the combo kind of, somewhere between trying to be thrifty and trying to meet all the qualifications for a healthy, decent lunch. And it just became popular. I mean, we can all remember those days of trying to decide, am I taking my lunch or am I eating at the cafeteria? Is it a good day at the cafeteria or a bad day? And for a lot of people, chili and cinnamon rolls was a good day.
Well, okay. So I grew up, in fact, on a very specific Kansas City cinnamon roll that is still around, the one at Stroud's. And Jill, you have mentioned this one. And so I want you to go ahead and tell us about it, because it's my definition, dictionary definition of a cinnamon roll, Stroud's cinnamon roll. And that might be why I think the reasonable thing to pair a cinnamon roll with is not chili, but it is, in fact, fried chicken.
There you go. Well, they're smaller on the scales. Okay, so you're already having fried chicken, right? So we have everything from, palm-sized cinnamon rolls in town to hubcap-sized cinnamon rolls. So those are smaller, and they come with the meal, and they have a real – because they're – we were talking about this before, Jenny. It's fried, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
That I think that brings up the sugar and makes it more caramely as opposed to cinnamony, mm-hmm. and I think that works really well with the chicken.
And the inside is very bready.
It is very bready, yes. Very soft. And so there's no glaze, there's no icing, so it's a different style of cinnamon roll, but I think it complements that fried chicken very well.
Carlton, I am intrigued by a pour-your-own-icing cinnamon roll you're recommending at Best Regards Bakery and Cafe.
Best Regards makes a cinnamon roll, and a lot of times when you see cinnamon rolls, they're baked in a pan and they're all pushed together. The cinnamon rolls at Best Regards are baked individually in these fancy little brown baking cups, little French style baking cups.
Like a creme brulee, only a cinnamon roll.
Exactly, yes. And when you purchase your cinnamon roll, there's a bottle of icing on the counter, and you get to take the bottle and squirt as much of the icing as your little taste buds can desire.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Who's heard of that? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Jill, you're recommending this one too. You have kind of a funny story about going to try it.
I went in the afternoon. Don't go look for cinnamon rolls in the afternoon, because if it's a really popular place, they're already gone, and they'll steer you to the orange rolls or maybe a sticky bun. Or in this case, Robert Dunsing, the owner, wanted me to check out the king cake. It was Fat Tuesday, what can I say? Fat Tuesday for cinnamon rolls. And he had lots of cakes there. And he said, you really need to try this because it's the same brioche dough that we use for our cinnamon rolls. It just has all the pretty icing and sugars on top. So indeed, I tried it. It is a very gooey, very, very gooey cinnamon roll dough.
Which apparently you can make gooier with as much icing as you want.
Yes.
But Robert told me that he really was trying to design. The reason he put it on the side was he wanted to design a cinnamon roll that did not require icing.
Mm-hmm. So that's an extra.
So like, that's an
it's
extra.
It's like your ketchup station.
Right.
So he believes you should eat it with no frosting.
That's what he wanted to create, he told me. And
it
so
seems like that's maybe also creating the opposite phenomenon where it turns into all the icing you want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that backfired.
I disagree with him every time I get one.
I think that backfired.
This is super funny. Let's talk to Tom in Topeka. Tom is calling us at 816-235-2888 about cinnamon rolls. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
What do you want to share?
This is really outside the Kansas City area a bit. It's in Manhattan, Kansas. There's a place called Mrs. Powell's Bakery, cinnamon rolls.
I'll allow it. This is road trip distance.
Yeah. I just love them for one thing, for lots of reasons. I love their texture. They also offer them with or without raisins, and I think the best cinnamon roll has to have raisins for me, please.
Wow, we have unanimity three people shaking their heads no, and in one case, grimacing. Tom, defend your position that raisins belong in cinnamon rolls, because I'm with the critics here. That sounds not good.
I don't think that needs defense. It's just a matter of personal taste. But as I say, they also offer them without. So, in fact, they have more without than they do with. But it's nice that they have this little niche for people who do like with raisins.
Is that a thing? Is that a, like, is there a community of raisin cinnamon roll lovers out there?
I doubt if there's actually enough of them to be, form a community, but there are. I have run into my fellow raisin lovers. Yeah.
Okay, Tom. But, well, maybe I will try it because I shouldn't knock it till I've tried it, okay?
Yeah. But anyway, they make really delicious cinnamon rolls. They're my favorite that I've encountered, at least.
And it's Mrs. Powell's in Manhattan, Kansas. They offer raisins and no raisins.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
As well as sticky buns and cherry rolls and other things, but cinnamon rolls are their specialty.
Thank you so much for the call.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Jenny, tell me about Mary O's Donut Shop.
Mary O's Donut Shop is opened by a gal named Micah Marriott, and she named it kind of jokingly after her a nickname that was given to her in her corporate life. But she left that and opened up a donut shop over at 95th and Antioch. And she does do a variety of donuts and as well as sell breakfast and lunch opportunities. But her cinnamon rolls are significantly larger than what I've seen kind of everywhere else. In fact, I believe she makes them by hand. They're so big that that's the only way my brain can figure out maybe how she did it. But so imagine a really large, but they're not super tall, so they're kind of more of the hubcap variety, I would say. But she uses a nice yeast dough, plenty of cinnamon in the middle, and then it's got a nice glaze on top. But there's nothing better than a fresh, nice cinnamon roll. And her size is shareable for sure. You could cut that in half and share it with a friend. So Mary O's Donuts. Yeah, like the cinnamon rolls there.
What about Heirloom in Brookside?
Heirloom in Brookside actually does something kind of fun, and it's all along there kind of what they do there, which is seasonal pastries. So they take their cinnamon roll, their traditional cinnamon roll, and do a seasonal version that changes all throughout the year depending on what's in season and what flavor profile. So you might go in the fall and get a pumpkin cinnamon roll that either has pumpkin in the dough or a little pumpkin spice in the middle. At the beginning of this year, they did my favorite, which was a butterscotch brioche cinnamon roll. And that's just my jam all day long. So it was a traditional cinnamon roll that had a little bit of butterscotch drizzle kind of on the top and maybe a little kind of carameliness to it. It was a hot mess and it was very sweet.
But, hot mess. Is that a compliment for a cinnamon
roll?
No,
it is. I mean, it is for sure. Everybody kind of wants that ooey gooey cinnamon. So it was a hot mess to eat and it was very sweet. I will say that. But for me, that was a treat and a half with a cup of coffee. So
cool. Yeah. Okay. And Jenny, I'm sorry to just like bombard you here, but you also have a cinnamon roll side hustle on your list.
So Tin Pan Casey is somebody that everybody should get to know. His name is Dan Edwards. He's the father of four, stay-at-home father of four. And he has a side hustle that he is making cinnamon rolls and delivering them hot out of the oven every morning across the metro. So if you're a person, and he really believes that cinnamon rolls should be eaten hot, he also is a big fan of cinnamon. I mean, he thinks cinnamon is the most important ingredient in a cinnamon roll. Although he frosts his for sure, he uses a very light, plain, kind of simple vanilla glaze. He doesn't use a cream cheese frosting because he doesn't want anything to detract from the cinnamon. But I'm telling you, all you have to do is call him up at tinpankc.com and order your cinnamon rolls from him, and he will deliver them hot to your door.
Nice. Okay, Joe. I want to talk about the concept of pastry dough, like the flaky, almost like croissant-y dough in a cinnamon roll. You're saying that they do this at what? The Pantry KC.
The Pantry KC in Lenexa. So the owner, Deepal Patel, is originally from England. And so I went in looking for cinnamon rolls, and she has morning rolls, which are, of course, cinnamon rolls, but very refined way of saying it. Also, a small...
It's like a mate versus a friend.
There you go. Exactly.
It's just vernacular.
And hers are little. I mean, you know, we see so many that are so big and so puffy and so tall. And hers are kind of refined. I feel like you could almost have tea with them, you know. And then she pipes on the cream cheese frosting. So it has this little pipe top on it, so it doesn't even actually look like a cinnamon roll, but it is. She says their orange rolls are even more popular, so that is a variation if people would like to try it. But it's such a cute little shop, and she's very delightful. And her partner, she and Joanna Young, really know a lot about various baked goods and fabulous cakes, but definitely try their cinnamon rolls. They're very, very, very nice.
So, Jenny, you have a controversial stance on cinnamon rolls, I would say, for our part of the country. And I wonder if you can just maybe share a little bit of that, because I feel like we need to inspire our listeners out there to rise to the defense of cinnamon rolls in general, but also to tell us where the best one in Kansas City is, because they're not stepping up.
Yeah. Well, you know, so my contention is that cinnamon roll is kind of a basic Becky of the pastry cake. I mean, there's of the pastry case in general. I mean, there's nothing hugely exciting or interesting. It's all flavor profiles we understand very easily. Most of us grew up with our grandmothers or mothers or someone in our family who was the cinnamon roll maker and having them at home. Or we had them out of a can, frankly, out of from Pillsbury. I mean, you know, one of the two. So we all know what that looks like. And so I think it's one of those things where you can scan a pastry case, see a cinnamon roll, know it's there, nod at it, acknowledge it, glad a friendly face is in the case.
You called it beige.
Yeah, but it's pretty boring.
It is beige.
And so once I see that it's there, I can move on and order more exciting things than a cinnamon roll. So I don't tend to gravitate toward cinnamon rolls when I'm out, but...
Cinnamon roll lovers, you need to call 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. We still have more cinnamon rolls to talk about on KCUR's Central Standard. Call 816-235-2888 if you want to join in. 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. More cinnamon rolls, please. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Jenny Vergara, Carlton Logan, and Jill Silva on KCUR's Central Standard. They are recommending cinnamon rolls, and you can too at 816-235-2888. Now, Jenny has just been sharing that she could stand a little more excitement than a cinnamon roll, but she also has recommended a lot of variations on the cinnamon roll theme. So, Jenny. Mm-hmm. A variation on the cinnamon roll that does excite?
I like the orange rolls at Dolce Bakery in the Prairie Village shops. And, you know, Erin Brown has been doing a great job there with many things. And she does have a traditional cinnamon roll for those who want that. But I was the kid who grew up eating Pillsbury orange rolls. So my mom didn't prefer cinnamon rolls. So having that knowledge about me, any orange roll is immediately where I would go to for a breakfast bun for sure. And she does one of the best. I love the fact that her frosting has little flecks of orange zest in it, which I think really punches up the orange flavor. There's a little bit of dried cinnamon peel or a little bit of dried orange peel and cinnamon that is actually in the bun itself. She just does an amazing job, and it's just a lovely variation of the traditional heavy cinnamon theme.
I also want to say zesting citrus right now seasonally is like one of the best mood lifters ever.
Amazing. Amazing.
Just throwing that out
there. No, I'm with you.
And Jill, you have taken a similar approach when recommending Strawberry Hill Pavitica. It's not quite a cinnamon roll, but it is in maybe the family of the cinnamon roll.
I think it is. It's one of the, well, I think they call it bread technically, but it's made in a very similar fashion, although the dough would be rolled out very, very, very thin. And I've actually watched women stretch this dough in a basement, and it took four of them, and, you know, it looked like a circus tent of everyone should get underneath. And so you go ahead and you make it in a similar fashion. It has nuts. It can have different flavorings, but the cinnamon is really, cinnamon with the black walnut is really more the traditional way of doing povetitsa. So I really enjoy it, even if it's sliced and not swirled in the same fashion.
Our listeners are now rising to the challenge that I have issued for them to call and both defend the cinnamon roll and recommend a favorite. And so we will go to them. But before we do, a cinnamon roll that seems to be famous around town is in Riverside. So kind of just right outside of town. And FYI, this place opens at 5 a.m. Carlton, what can you tell us about this legendary corner cafe cinnamon roll?
So the Corner Cafe, there's several locations around the city. They make a lot of baked goods. They make their own pies, they make rolls, and they make cinnamon rolls. And it's an old-fashioned, ooey-gooey, messy cinnamon roll. And the first time I went, I had a wonderful server who actually came from behind the counter, sat down with me, and took me through a tour of the menu. And she said, you have to get the cinnamon roll. I'm going to bring you the large one. And she brought out this plate-sized cinnamon roll after I'd had a tenderloin. And
so this
said,
is a family-style cinnamon roll.
Family of four. That's my nickname for it, the family of four cinnamon roll. There's several throughout the city. But, yes, yeah, she brought out this plate-sized cinnamon roll. It's delicious, but it's too much for one person. It's a family of four, definitely.
Let's talk to Jeff. Jeff is calling from Osawatomie. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there.
Tell us about your recommendation.
Well, I am eating right now, as we speak, a cinnamon roll from Chris's Cafe. Osawatomie is the metropolitan area, and they have got good, fresh baked goods daily. And I like Chris's because I say they're light and loaded.
What does that mean? I mean, loaded doesn't seem to go with light to me.
Well, the dough is very tall and light, but I am definitely a corner of the pan guy with the goop. And so I was disappointed today that they were out of pecan rolls, which I still kind of consider a cinnamon roll. But they're cinnamon rolls, and pecan rolls are tall, light, very good bread, but also loaded with cinnamon and icing.
So Chris's Cafe in Osawatomie, pardon me.
Osawatomie.
If you want a cinnamon roll that is, quote, light and loaded, per our caller, Jeff. Now, he mentioned pecans, and somebody also has a pecan. Yes, Jill, we talked about McLean's a little bit, but you like McLean's specifically for their pecan sticky bun.
I do. I like the nuts on it. I don't know if that's truly part of the whole cinnamon roll thing, but yeah, I think they're in the same family, and so they should count.
Okay. Allowed.
It's lovely. They're tall, sprinkled with nuts, very caramely, a little bit of cinnamon. Very delicious.
My grandmother ordered a pan every week from McLean's, the pecan rolls.
Aww.
And so I kind of grew up on that. That was kind of my first introduction to McLean's for sure when they were in Waldo, right on Warnell.
And now they're still in Waldo, just a couple of blocks over.
Right.
Let's talk to Steve in Lawrence. Steve, what do you recommend?
I'm recommending Muncher's Bakery in Lawrence. It's very famous. They're open 24/7. People in Lawrence love it. And everything they have is amazing. But since we're talking about cinnamon rolls, they have bite-sized cinnamon rolls and orange rolls.
How many bite-sized cinnamon rolls do you get when you are getting cinnamon rolls?
I really would rather not say, because I can eat a lot of little bite-sized cinnamon rolls.
Well, thanks so much for
more
calling.
More than 10.
Carlton, you also are recommending Munchers.
Yes. I recently did a bakery tour of Lawrence. I had not been to Lawrence in a while, so I did a bakery tour, and I happened to come across Munchers. And a loyal customer came in and basically gave me the whole spiel of, well, you got to try this, and you got to try this, and you got to try this. So, yes, I discovered the little mini cinnamon rolls and the regular ones.
How many did you get?
I will confess to two regular and two orange, which and I have to say, I didn't know orange was such a big thing, but yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised by this too.
Yes, orange is a big thing.
So four total make, would you say that equals one regular size?
I would say so, yes.
I'm just trying to help our listeners with the math on this. Because I appreciate the bite-sized dessert, but I'm not sure.
Well, this is the leftover dough's leftover dough, right? I mean, so if cinnamon roll is leftover dough, then the mini is the leftover dough of the leftover dough. Mm-hmm.
For more Lawrence cinnamon rolls, Jill, you're recommending Lady Bird Diner.
Yeah, I let my kids eat this one. I did not partake, but it was very delicious looking and very tall and They have something that I want to try the next time I'm in Lawrence. Maybe, Carlton, you've tried it. They have a bread pudding made out of cinnamon rolls. See, I'm all about the variations on the theme. I really think that's kind of fun.
Well, no, this is, I think, what makes someone say that we have this particular cinnamon roll identity. And how many cities do you think there are cinnamon roll-based bread puddings?
Well, I think we'd have to go to the South and find out.
Probably the South, definitely. Yeah.
Don't you think? And I think they have some raisins down there, too, but I'm not claiming those either.
No raisins.
Someone on Twitter was also recommending Wheatfields Bakery in Lawrence and 1900 Barker Bakery and Cafe. So it sounds like Lawrence has quite a cinnamon roll scene.
That was my tour.
It's, by the way, you take bakery tours?
I did that day, yes.
We need to hang out more.
And I hit Lady Bird that day as well.
Yeah. Let's talk to Mary Beth in Gladstone. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi.
What are you recommending?
Well, every once in a while, we will take a trip to Kansas City, Missouri, off 71, M&M's.
Tell us more. I know of M&M's, but for listeners who are unfamiliar.
Yeah, we usually go for their apple fritter, but I have taken home one of their cinnamon rolls, which are delicious. But all their baked goods, since they make them right there and they're all family owned and everything, everything's great there. But their cinnamon rolls, you have a choice of with icing or without icing.
It's nice to have choices. Thank you so much for calling, Mary Beth. And
bye-bye.
Carlton, you're nodding.
Mm-hmm. M&M is one of my favorites as well. It's the traditional, probably, that we all grew up with type of an cinnamon roll. And yes, the apple fritters are good as well. But yeah, it's the traditional, and as she said, with or without icing. So, you know, whichever you prefer. But yes, it's soft, cinnamon, sugar.
Carlton, you have baking experience, so I'm going to ask you to explain what characterizes this, quote, traditional cinnamon roll.
Traditional, and I think probably here at the table we have all eaten cinnamon rolls, but we probably also make them. A soft, buttery dough. Interesting about the filling. Typically, it's sugar, cinnamon, butter. Sometimes it's just sprinkled. Sometimes it's like a paste that you may kind of, you know, spread on. And really, that's it. And then the icing typically is a confectioner's sugar milk blend. The latest, of course, incarnation is cream cheese. But yeah, those are the basic components. And that's what makes it good. It's just very basic.
Let's talk to Ashton in Union Hill. Ashton, you have a quintessentially KC cinnamon roll.
It is for me, anyway. I grew up in Kansas, and then I lived in New York City for 17 years, so every time I come home, I would want a Lamar's. It's a little more, it's very sweet, and, you know, they're known for donuts, so maybe it's more donut-type variety. I don't know if it's...
A donut-style cinnamon roll.
Yeah. Hey, to address something you said earlier, I've made bread pudding from it, though, and I did add raisins. Sorry, guys.
Those raisins have got to go.
You know, I am surprised at how many recommendations come from donut shops. Like, you'd think that, like, with all those donuts, they wouldn't need to add cinnamon rolls to the mix. But is Kansas City so cinnamon roll crazy that you got to have them?
Yes.
Is that the deal?
Yeah.
I absolutely believe that. You can see that. You're comforted. It's there. And you can move on from there.
Mm-hmm. So, Jill, you've got two donut shop cinnamon rolls on your list.
I do. Donutology has a gluten-free cinnamon roll, which I think is very interesting. And I had it last night. And it's made by Emily Cates, which is a well-known wholesaler of gluten-free items.
And we did a story on them recently, if you want to look that up.
Yeah, awesome. They're really doing a great job. And I think that it's a little bit denser, just a tiny, tiny bit denser than your regular dough, but it is so close that it's going to make all of those people who need gluten-free very, very happy.
All right, and you're going to just have to look at our list for the rest of those donut shop cinnamon rolls that our critics are recommending, because our time is up. Jenny Vergara, contributing editor for Feast Magazine, thank you so, so much. This has been fun.
My pleasure.
I always appreciate your controversial takes. Jill Silva, freelance food critic and host of the Chew Diligence podcast, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Last but not least, Carlton Logan is the moderator of the Kansas City Eats Facebook group, which anyone can join. And he also writes for KC Food Guys. So great having you, Carlton. Thank you.
Thank you.
Charles Ferruza joined us on a trip to McLean's earlier in the show. Our list of the best cinnamon rolls in Kansas City will be at kcur.org/centralstandard. So be sure and grab it for all of your weekend breakfast needs. That's a wrap for the week. Thanks for listening. You can talk to us on Twitter over the weekend. We are at KCURCST. This show is produced by Melody Rowell, Sylvia Maria Gross, Chris Young, Coy Duggar, Suzanne Hogan, and intern Salisa Kalakal. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Over and out.